All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Cohen here with you as we are welcoming our very special guest, and always love having having John Pielli on to talk some baseball. When he's on, you know, baseball season is here. From the Passball Show, one of the top shows as far as I'm concerned in social media, YouTube, is the Passball Show. John, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Michael? Always a pleasure to talk to you. Excited to get into some baseball, man. Officially, the season has already started. Down over in South Korea.
Exactly. I mean, we were just talking before we got going here, like how, you know, opening day, you know, sometimes fans can over-exaggerate things on opening day in the first couple of games of the year. And, you know, we see Yamamoto, this guy who the Mets and the Yankees were both, you know, vying for, ended up losing out on to the Dodgers, $325 million, and he gets raked in the first game, first inning.
Yeah, that's funny. And then, you know, like, you kind of said, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of things we're going to see early on and expect them to be the norm, and it's not going to turn out to be true. And then there's a bunch of opposite things we're going to see that, you know, aren't going to be true. So it's fun. And I look forward to opening day, the beginning of the season, because, you know, every team legitimately has a chance, no matter what the outlook is, no matter how bad of an offseason we might view it. There's still a chance that we think in every single thing, this, all go right, the team can outperform expectations. And, you know, that dream might not last for a long time, but at least for the first couple days of the season, it does.
That's kind of where the Mets are right now. You know, no, very little expectations this year. No one knows what to expect. The pitching, you know, they don't have a staff ace per se right now with Kodai Senga out. If they can get up to a solid start, I think that's going to get some fans excited. If not, you're going to hear fans going, oh, well, see, here we go again. Disaster season, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunately the way it's going to be. You know, I do kind of say, like, as you say that, I do kind of put a little caution to it. Now, it wasn't that long ago. 2018, I was thinking about. The Mets started the season 11-1, and it was much better than what the expectations were for the given season.
Mm.
And then not that far after that, you saw what really the Mets were about. But when that happened, it wasn't like the sky was falling. It was like, well, this is really what the team was. This was a team that perhaps, if you asked David Stearns, if you asked Steve Cohen, a team that they believe can compete for a playoff spot. And obviously the bar for a playoff team has certainly been dropped very much over the last series of years with the expanded wild card and teams getting into the playoffs with 83, 84 wins. And if that's really all it takes, then sure. Yeah, I don't see why you could say the Mets can't be considered amongst that group that can slip in there, you know, win between 83 and 85 games and get into the playoffs. But in order for them to do that, obviously, you know, they have to stay healthy. And there's a lot of question marks as the season gets ready to be started that have to get answered. And if they do, listen, they could certainly, you know, 83 or 85 wins isn't crazy.
No, it isn't. I mean, it really isn't, especially in like you just mentioned, in a league where there's more parity now, the expanded playoffs. We saw, what was it, Arizona getting with 83 wins, 84 wins last year, and go all the way to the World Series. So, you know, once you get, like the old saying goes, with the way all these sports are now, if you just get in, anything can happen. So, with that in mind, I think the biggest question to me is going to be the starting rotation. We know now it's going to be Jose Quintana starting things off on opening day. Then you go from... then you think they have Luis Severino after that, Sean Manaea, Andre Houser, and Tyler McGill. Severino impressed this spring. He pitched very well. Pitched to a 1 ERA this year. And also Tyler McGill, I thought, really pitched fairly well down in spring training. But again, spring training stats and regular season stats are two different animals, as we all know. But if the Mets are going to have any kind of decent start to this season, or even a solid season, they've got to find a way to have these guys give them quality innings. You know, I know we live in a world now where teams expect, you know, 5 innings at a max now. But, you know, if they can get 6-7 innings out of these guys at a time, that'd be great. Even if just quality outings, for that matter, is really what they need right now out of this starting rotation.
Yeah, and if you look at the build-up, obviously, you know, with spring training, they're taking a little more time with pitchers, I noticed, this year than in past years.
Yeah.
Three innings, 4 innings, still after, you know, your third or fourth time out there. You know, usually the pitchers, if we followed spring trainings in the past, they've been pushed a little bit further. And I think with the Mets, what you're seeing is maybe that's not going to be the case. You know, you look at the bullpen, the way it's set up, and I do think that they have a series of good relievers. But I think the game, especially if you follow, you know, if you follow what David Stearns did with the Milwaukee Brewers, they did a lot of bullpenning. They did have some really top of the line starting pitchers, but the rest of their rotation, their 3, 4, and 5 guys, weren't going more than 4 or 5 innings. And then, you know, automatically, you know, reliever A, B, C would come in certain times. So I would think the Mets may incorporate some of that into their outings. I don't think they're going to really go like the full opener mode, but I think if you get 4 good innings out of a couple of these pitchers on a given day, that might be good enough. And I know you and I, as baseball purists, you know, probably are bothered by hearing that. I'm certainly bothered by saying it. You know, I think the key is to have a solid 9 innings, as opposed to, you know, set it up a certain way where anybody has to get it. I mean, you know, you've seen a couple times in spring training, a couple of the relievers, they've gone, you know, an inning plus 2 innings out of. I think you're going to see certain relievers pitch multiple innings in certain times. Mm-hmm. And the key is going to be to have a plan to get through the game from a pitching standpoint. And I also believe that that's part of the reason why the Mets, after things didn't work out with Yamamoto, it didn't really feel obsessed to have to get a bona fide number one guy. They have a series of probably middle of the rotation dudes, but, you know, all with track records that when things are going right, they can be okay.
They can be. I mean, like Minaya and Severino, at one point in their careers, were considered, if not aces, were considered ace-like at different points in their careers. I mean, even Severino, what was it, back in 2018, was, what, an 18-game winner, 17-game winner with the Yankees before the injuries all caught up to him. So, you know, it's catch-as-catch-can with this rotation. The bullpen, you know, it's about trying to piecemeal together to try to get to the back end without Avino, and then obviously Edwin Diaz. Having Edwin Diaz back now fully healthy, though, kind of, it changes the outlook of the bullpen, as you just mentioned, because now that he's healthy, you know that he's going to be there. So I think in some ways their bullpen looks pretty good on the outset.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job with some of their other additions. They brought in Jake Diekman, Jorge Lopez, who in 2022 was really good. Unfortunately, he hasn't matched that season at any other point of his career, but the talent's there. And I think they have, you know, guys like Sean Reed Foley and Phil Bickford, with, you know, they have very live arms that if you could kind of catch them in that season where everything clicks for them, then obviously the bullpen is even lengthier than it is. And I do think the front part of the bullpen, you know, the 6, 7, and 8 relievers are really going to say a lot to how good the Mets pitching staff could really be, because those are the guys that are going to be getting in the game. And like I mentioned before, maybe the 5th inning, maybe the 6th inning, but a lot of times with the game still being, you know, in a situation where it could go one way or the other. So, you know, I do think that the last couple relievers that end up making the camp for the Mets are going to have a certain amount of value, and maybe a little bit more value than in past years.
A couple of headlines that people keep talking about the most. Obviously, the biggest one being Pete Alonso, what his long-term future with the team is going to be. It's going to be the story all season. It's been the story all spring's training. He's going to go free agent, whether he gets a, you know, $300+ million contract is a question that has to be answered later. But do you feel that the Mets are playing with fire here? Do you like what David Stearns is doing here and Steve Cohen by saying, hey, look, you know, we'll just let this thing play out to the end of the season? Or do you want to see them get this thing done and over with so we don't have to talk about it anymore?
Well, I think most Met fans would probably agree with me, where they would hope that it just got done with, sorted out, and, you know, Pete was going to be a Met for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I really haven't come across a Met fan that, you know, wants Pete to go, or has actively said that he's, you know, he or she is wants him to go. But I think the way the Mets set it up, I mean, listen, sometimes all it takes is one other team to jump in, or one owner to say, hey, that's the guy that I want. And I don't know if you necessarily want that kind of competition.
Mm.
Now, I mean, if he hits free agency, I think there certainly is a chance that he could sign somewhere else.
Mm.
And, you know, you look at, you know, the outlook of, let's say, the Yankees and, you know, their pursuit of retaining Juan Soto. Let's say that doesn't work out, and all of a sudden they have extra money that they were expecting to go another way. You know, I mean, Mets fans would go crazy if he ended up signing with the Yankees. But ultimately, I think what makes me feel good about it is the fact that they have the owner with the deepest pockets.
Mm.
And if they really, truly want to bring him back, I don't think they're going to allow money to be the reason why he ends up going somewhere else. Obviously, with a little bit of a little bit of scaredness, I think is a possibility that I could be let down. But I think that, you know, the price might be a little bit higher than what David Stearns and Steve Cohen might want to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also put Pete Alonso in a situation where he can go, he could prove his worth, totally reset the market for how much first basemen get paid.
Yeah.
And all he has to do is go out there and have his best season.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that always worries me is that I kind of feel that they're kind of playing chicken in a way, because they're looking at the fact that he hit like 217 last year, thinking, well, you know, he's pushing 30, you know, he didn't hit very well average-wise, let's see what happens this year. Well, you know, you and I both know, we all know, baseball fans know that when you have a great player on a year of free agency, they're gonna ball out in that free agent year. They're going to have an amazing season. All right, so folks, as we continue here with this discussion on the Mets now, we have to do a bit of an addendum. Because as we were recording this, this story broke, and it's kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal. The Mets signing J.D. Martinez, because we were talking about, you know, Vientos and Beatty and, you know, their impact and importance on the team. Well, that just got changed and thrown somewhat out the window, because they signed J.D. Martinez, a huge power bat, 33 home runs last year with Boston, the Dodgers, I should say, but again, long career with Boston as well. $12 million, and I believe a lot of money deferred through 2038. So, John, your initial thoughts, all of a sudden, the thoughts of this season changes a little bit.
Yeah, it has to a little bit. I think, you know, one of the things you were thinking that the Mets really needed was a little protection for Pete Alonso in the middle of their lineup. And obviously, there was a chance that they could have found that from within, whether it was Francisco Alvarez or the before-mentioned Beatty and Vientos. But yeah, you're looking at a premium bat, a guy that has a 30 home run type of pedigree, a player that I've been a fan of really since the beginning of his career with the Astros.
Mm.
He was really one of the first players that I saw when I used to go to spring training a long time ago. He was a minor league player with the Astros, and I'm like, man, I love this guy's power, and I started to kind of follow him. And yeah, you know, it's as a Mets fan, I
got to
be honest, I'm pumped.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, this is exciting when you get this kind of impact player in the middle of the lineup. You get, you know, Pete Alonso some protection in that lineup. I mean, we're just talking about, what happens if the Mets fall out of it? You know, what do they do with Pete Alonso? Well, now you get him some protection in this order that he hasn't really enjoyed in quite some time with the Mets.
Yeah, and then, like I said, I mean, I think it changes the complexion of the lineup. I think there's a lot of different things you can do, but just, you know, like you felt like last year when the Mets were attempting to contend, they seemed like they were like one bat short. And if they were close enough to the fringes of contention, you would have expected them to go out there and bring in a bat at the trading deadline last year. Obviously, they were a little too far away, decided to go any other direction. But, you know, this is the type of bat that I think they needed.
Mm.
And offense was a big disappointment for them last year. If you look at their run production as it went from 2022 to 2023, all their numbers from batting average and runs per game and on-base percentage and, batting average of runners in scoring position and stuff like that was all considerably down in the year of 2023. And then, right now you bring in an all-star, somebody that is really able to add to that. I think it certainly changes the whole complexion of the lineup and may even change a little bit of what the expectations are for the upcoming season.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, like you mentioned, you know, it just adds the instant offense that the Mets did not have. I think they looked at their offense in spring training. They saw that they weren't hitting very well as a team. They needed a spark. They, you know, you have a lot of guys who are, you know, on a long-term contract. You know, that's been the thing with the Mets. You know, what are they going to be? Are they going for it? Are they kind of trying to rebuild? You have, you know, guys with contracts like Brandon Nimmo, McNeil, Lindor, a couple of these guys are going to be here for a long time. You know, what's your identity? And that's really been the question for me all spring and all offseason. Well, this tells me now that the identity is, yeah, we may want to play our young guys, but we also want to win. And that just changes everything in my mind for the Mets.
Yeah, it does. And like I said, the key is, you know, as we spoke about before, it's just Yeah, this is the apex of how you feel as a baseball fan. Opening day is coming out. There's so many games to go to be disappointed. The beginning of the season is the one chance that you think of, if everything goes right, we can do this. And that's what this time of year is about. So you obviously, you're able, in the day and age of free agency, the way it's going now with players not signing right away and a lot of them lasting into the months of February and in March, you get stuff like this, breaking news in the last week of spring training that, your team makes a big signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess what that is, get to change our prediction now after the season. World Series, here they come. No, I'm only kidding. But seriously, I mean, what are now altered expectations? I think we both had them at 83 wins. I mean, I'm afraid to move off of that, but this changes it.
Certainly adds a couple, but I think the key is, a lot of the other things that we mentioned still have to work out.
True.
They gotta figure out the bullpen, which I think is gonna be a strength. You wonder about the length when it comes to the starting pitchers, or at the very least, the contingency plan with how to use the relievers in coordinates with the starters. But the one thing I think the Mets lacked was really outside of Alonso and maybe a little bit of Lindor and Alvarez was power. And I think you got a guy that's capable of hitting 30 home runs that goes right into the middle of your lineup. I think it puts you right in the mix, when it comes to those other wild card teams. Yeah. I think the Phillies right now, as we look at them, are probably better. Outside of that, I think they're up there with the Giants. I think they're up there with Arizona, who I think are the two favorites for the other two wild card spots. But you think of Cincinnati, you think of Pittsburgh. I can't really say that any of those other teams are leaps and bounds better than the Mets. Mm-hmm. So I certainly expect them to compete with the likes of those other teams.